Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've often said that if Jesus were walking around today teaching, he would use symbols and metaphors from our lives. I could see him talking about skyscrapers and airplanes instead of sheep and seeds. I also think that if he were talking about the cross, he wouldn't use the symbol of the cross. He would say something like taking a bullet for me, or taking up our lethal injection. You see, when we hear the words, take up your cross, we think of a burden. We think of something onerous that is put on us, and we tend to trivialize the meaning. Because when he said, take up your cross, he was talking about the means of his own execution. And when people were listening to this in the early church, for the first 3 centuries, they actually faced life and death decisions. When they followed Jesus, they were in danger of losing their lives, not figuratively, not as a metaphor, but really getting killed. It's very different than when we hear the scripture today. Will you take a bullet? I think of the assassination attempt of Ronald Reagan. If you remember the pictures from that time, the minute you hear the bullets flying, people start ducking for cover, except for one man who stood up and made himself bigger so he'd be a target. He was a Secret Service agent, and he took literally a bullet while everybody else dodged, because he was trained that someone else's life was more important than his. That makes it very difficult for us, doesn't it, in 21st century American Christianity. Will you take a bullet? I'm not sure, though, that this is calling people to martyrdom, especially in our day and age. But it is calling people to start thinking about others as more important than ourselves. And I think of the martyr John Huss. If you know his life, this is a man who had a good life. He had it made. He didn't have to struggle. He was a priest. And at that time, the priests were the elite. They were so entwined with the state that you couldn't tell one from the other. Church and state were very powerfully put together. And the priesthood was a wonderful occupation. In the priesthood, you had money. You had land ownership. You had the ability to influence people. You had the respect of your community. And this man, John Huss, had it all. In fact, he was such a darling of the establishment that he was given a plum assignment. Other priests probably looked at him with envy because he was the rector of Bethlehem Chapel, and it was the only place that people could hear the Mass in their own language. It wasn't that he was a rebel, that was just the culture of that particular chapel. So he could speak words of grace, and everybody understood him. Not only that, all he had to do to keep his position was to toe the company line, not to make any waves. And it was to his advantage to do that. After all, the people could not read the scripture for themselves. They couldn't read that grace is available to all people. So when the priests withheld part of communion for themselves, the people could only partake of the bread, and the wine was reserved for the priesthood. Nobody knew that that was not what Jesus said. And so the means of grace were only for those who earned it. God played favorites, and John Huss was in that group of favorites. Why would you want to change that? They also had a very elegant way of fundraising. We often tell people, your gift is between you and the Lord, not then. They said, the more you give, the more opportunity you have to get your soul out of purgatory. So when you die, you go to the front of the line. Well, that really helped the wealthy among them because they could give generously and they knew that their souls would go out of purgatory. But for the impoverished, which was mostly everybody else, the 90%, that meant that any little they had to give to the church. And that not only funded the priest, that also funded all the holy wars that were going on. And John Huss, knowing the word of God the way he did, he could not toe the company line. So this man with a very good life, that a life of leisure and wonderful things and home ownership and all that you could ever want, decided that he had to speak out. And so he told the people that grace was for everyone. He told them that they didn't have to buy their way into heaven. Now, I'm sure the offerings reflected that. And once you start dealing with power structures and you start affecting people's pocketbooks, things can get really ugly. And they did. The first thing that happened was he was excommunicated. So he went out in the countryside and started preaching, and the people flocked to him because they were hearing the good news for the first time. He was thrown in a dungeon. And on the last day of his life, he was told, "If you only say I was wrong, we'll let you live." Now, who among us doesn't love life? This man loved life, but he said, "I can't do that." See, there's living, and then there's life in abundance. And the abundant life tells us it's not just about me. And so this man said, I can't. And he willingly laid down his life and died. And over 500 years later, we still remember this man, John Huss. Now, if he hadn't done that, he'd still be dead today. Okay? You know, people in the 1400s aren't alive today. So it's how you choose to live your life. Because one day, as the great line in Moonstruck says, you're gonna die. Now, in 500 years, I doubt if anybody will remember my name. I'm kind of hoping that I don't gain any notoriety so that people 500 years later will want to know who I was. But I do hope that somewhere in somebody's DNA was an ancestor whose life I helped to change. That someone somewhere will have a thriving, wonderful life because of something that I did to help my neighbor today. I might not be famous, but I hope that in God's kingdom, I have had an effect. Taking up one's cross is not saying, oh, I have a terrible burden. Taking up one's cross is to say, there's somebody's life that's of value, and I'm going to invest in that life. The Lord gives us people that we can invest in. What will it matter, Jesus said, if you gain everything, but you lose the abundant life? So tomorrow, as we're facing our day and we're doing good things, I hope, for ourselves, we will look beyond ourselves and see the needs and meet those needs. Let us pray. Lord, I am so grateful for the lives of those who, when faced with life or death, chose abundant life, chose life that would bring people to grace and favor. I thank you for the life of John Huss and all who have gone before us, who took the stand of faith. And I ask that you would help us in big ways and small to affect the lives of those around us. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.